May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 992. Poor and afflicted, Lord are thine, among the great unfit to shine. But though the world may think it strange, they would not with the world exchange. Hymn 992.
Thank you. us read from the Word of God, from the book of Psalms, Psalm 95, 96, and Psalm 100. Three Psalms, Psalm 95, 96, and Psalm 100. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him and all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. May the Lord bless those portions of his word of truth to us, and help us to come to the throne of grace, calling upon his name. O Lord, merciful, kind and gracious to us, we truly do feel the words of our first hymn, "An afflicted and poor people are thine. Poor, Lord, brought to see and to feel continually their need of thee, to keep, to preserve, to uphold, to work grace in our hearts, to impart thy fear into our hearts, to help us to seek thee and to serve thee. And yes, afflicted, Lord, feeling, Lord, the solemn truth of our own weaknesses, infirmities, failings, shortcomings, and the solemn truth, day by day, the working of sin, word, thought, and deed. But Lord, it is thy grace that has brought us to that place, that we should be nothing before thee, that we might see in thee to be our all and everything, our dependency upon thee, our need of thee, Lord, to keep us, to preserve us, and Lord also, venturing continually upon thee, to take our whole cause and interest in hand, that we might be true followers of thyself. And Lord, thou knowest how that we earnestly pray before thee, seeking, Lord Jesus, to know more of thy nature, Lord, to resemble thee, Lord, who hath done great things for us, who hath shown to us our need as sinners, who pardoned all our sins by shedding thy precious blood, and that blood indeed so precious, so infinite, but applied with efficacy and power to remove all guilt and defilement. And Lord, we thank thee for the mercy that we have found. Oh, but Lord, we do pray, help us that we might know the graces of thy Spirit poured out upon us, of faith and love, and Lord, of patience, perseverance, of mercy and goodness. And Lord, that we might be helped also to suffer for thy name's sake, Lord, and that we might be helped, Lord, to know what it is, Lord, to take up our cross and to follow thee. Lord, we need thy gracious help. Do come, Lord, to each one of us, we pray thee, in all our own felt weakness and insufficiency, that we might know thee, Lord, that thou art the keeper and the preserver of thy people, to bring them, Lord, day by day, to wait upon thee, to venture there all upon thee at the throne of grace. And Lord, that thou wilt go before us in the way. And so, Lord, we thank thee for all thy care, thy watchfulness, thy goodness over us through the days of the week that are now past. O Lord, when we are brought to reflect, we think upon the words of thy servant David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for ever. O Lord, we have known and felt again thy goodness and thy mercies towards us. O, thy mercies have been new every morning. Thy goodness that thou hast made to pass before us in the way, the precious things of Jesus, the blessedness of his gospel, and all thy word and thy truth and promises. And O Lord, in thy providence, Lord, to bring us through, to guide us by thy hand through the days of the week now past. Goodness and mercy, Lord, oh, that we might know more of thee, bowing down of our heads before thee in humble prayer and praise and thanksgiving for that thou hast been good unto us, provided for us, given to us each that measure of renewed health and strength day by day, that we should go forth to those lawful and necessary things for us to do here below, but not forgetting, Lord, that we are indeed in thy hands, under thy care, under thy mercy, and that it is by thy hand alone that thou hast brought us thus far. And Lord, we would lift thee up, Lord, thou knowest we seem and appear, Lord, to be so poor, Lord, in exalting thee, in giving unto thee the praise and the glory which is thy due. Lord, do help us, we pray thee, and thank thee that thou hast brought us to this moment of time and to another Lord's day in our pilgrimage journeying here below. O Lord, we do pray that it may be a good day, a profitable day to us, that we might know what it is truly to be sanctified and set apart, Lord, from all things else beside this time, the things of time and sense, the things, the cares of this world, Lord. Oh, do, Lord, grant to us that singular heart and mind in the true worship and devotion of thy name, we pray thee. And oh, that we may each be brought, Lord Jesus, to thy feet, to know, Lord, what it is to be found before thee, worshipping at the footstool of thy grace. And Lord, what a mercy it is to be found there, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, pour out thy Spirit upon us, graciously reveal and make known thy presence amongst us, that we might worship thee this time in spirit and in truth, and that we might, Lord, honour thee and glorify thee to be our God, our Saviour, and our friend, that one who is ever near to thy people, and that one who is ever dear to our hearts. For, O Lord, we are brought again and reminded, Lord, that we were ever dear unto thee, that our names were engraved, as it were, Lord Jesus, in love upon thy breast when thou didst suffer, bleed, and die for us, and when thou didst cry, "It is finished," that we were safe and secure in all covenant engagements which thou didst take upon thyself in respect of us, Lord. Lord, it is our mercy that we are now before thee, We love thee because thou didst first love us, Lord. Oh, may we be enabled now to venture before thee and to know, Lord, what it is truly to know thy grace, to know thy word, to know the blessings of a covenant God, the attributes of a God in covenant with his people, his love, his mercy, truth and grace and favour, all revealed and made known in a precious Christ for sinners. Lord, meet the case and need of each one of us. Lord, thou lookest upon this little company, Lord. Thou knowest those that have come together in thy name at this time, Lord. Has it come, has it been with a love, with a desire, with a Lord, a hungering and a thirsting in the soul for thee and for thy word? Lord, look upon each case and need. Lord, we do pray thee, and Lord, visit each soul, Lord. And we do pray, send none empty away this day from the means of grace. But oh, leave tokens of thine especial love and mercy to us. Open up to us the precious truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Cause our souls to live spiritually and upon thyself, that we may each grow in grace and knowledge of thee, that we may be strengthened with all might by thy Spirit in the inner man. O Lord, do come to each one of us. We pray thee, Lord, and oh, that it may be that this day we shall each be enabled to declare those things that thou hast done for us. We thank thee then, Lord, for bringing us to another Lord's Day. O Lord, help us to serve thee and to worship thee and to be enabled, Lord, to lift thee up, to glorify thee. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be an ingathering through the word. Lord, thou knowest how that we pray in respect of these great mercies, Lord. Sinner saved by grace, Lord, we do pray, oh, that there may be, yea, that testimony, that witness again, Lord, even this day, that there are those, Lord, shall come forth and, Lord, declare and what thou hast done for their souls, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, that each congregation that thy servant doth appear before, that he prayeth for each and every soul, for they watch for their souls. And, Lord, many, Lord, now this day, found before thee, and yet still seeking, still, Lord, praying, still, Lord, hoping. Lord, do appear to them, we pray thee, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldest, Lord, in thy rich mercy, pronounce them clean through thy precious blood. We pray thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that this day the church may indeed again rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Lord, leave none unconcerned and indifferent, Lord, in respect of the truth of their never dying and immortal soul, that it shall live on and it shall live forever, Lord. Oh, but oh, where shall it find an everlasting abiding place? Oh, shall it be with those sheep that we've read together, and who shall be accounted worthy and put upon thy right hand and blessed in thy kingdom? Lord, we pray for this mercy for every one that gather here, the babe in arms, the young, the children, and those, Lord, young friends, and each and every one, that mercy may be found, Lord Jesus, we pray thee. So, Lord, do come, draw near to each case. Be with each unable to attend at this time. We prayerfully commit them to thee, Lord. Thou knowest where they are and the things that detain them. Be with them, Lord, where they are. Keep them, preserve them. But, Lord, do come to them this day, that they shall still bear some testimony of thy presence, thy grace, thy mercy, thy word, thy truth in their hearts, that thou art ever present and with and near unto thy people wheresoever they may be. Lord, do come then where they are. And we do pray, Lord, for this thy house of prayer. We pray, Lord, be with them as they gather together week by week in thy name. Do hear all the prayers and the petitions that are offered up to thee in this thy house. Be unto them prayer hearing and prayer answering, Lord, and come to all their needs as their needs may arise. So we prayerfully commit them unto thee, Lord. We prayerfully commit the deacons to thee, Lord, and the membership here, Lord. Do, Lord, be with them, Lord, and hear their prayers. We pray thee in respect of those that gather here, the salvation of sinners. Lord, we do pray, draw near. We thank thee for the witness and the testimony of the gospel in this locality. Lord, we do pray, cause thy word to grow. May there yet be strangers gathered in, that they might know, Lord, the blessing and the truth, that thou art able to save unto the uttermost. O Lord, do draw near. Be with thy servants this day, help them to preach thine everlasting gospel, to proclaim that full and free salvation in Jesus. Be mouth matter and wisdom for them. Do help thy servant now, Lord, help him to speak in thy name, thy word of truth. O Lord, we look to thee, that thou wilt teach by thy Spirit. Prosper thy word, Lord, whereto thou wilt send it. May each soul, we pray thee, hear and receive, and be blessed, Lord. We ask these mercies with the pardon and the forgiveness of our every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. Hymn 627.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 95, reading together from verses 6 and 7. Psalm 95, reading from verses 6 and 7. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. There is no author shown to us in respect of this psalm, but it is certainly a gospel psalm. These words were taken by Paul and so used and applied to the Hebrew Christians who were a much persecuted and tried people. But there is an indication also by Paul in his epistle to the Hebrews and in Hebrews chapter 4, and we read in verse 7 again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And so the concluding words of our text, today, if ye will hear his voice. So it is a psalm of David, and I do believe it to be a gospel psalm. A gospel psalm which shows to us very clearly that there is only true worship and true gospel rest found in the worship of our God in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first part of this psalm, the first 7 verses, show to us clearly that gospel rest. But then the following part of the psalm shows to us very clearly that rest that was lost. The hardening of the heart in the day of temptation. And we know the solemn time and season when the children of Israel, they came to the borders of the land and sent spies into the land of Canaan. They came back with the fruits of the land, saw how good everything was, but they also came back with an evil report that the Lord God was unable to take them into that land. And it was the children of Israel who had seen the mighty power of God in their deliverance from Pharaoh, from all their enemies, great power in the plagues in Egypt, the miracles, then the dividing of the Red Sea, walled up, dear friends, as a wall, so that the children of Israel could pass through. And then that remarkable day of rejoicing. Moses and all the children of Israel rejoiced. They saw the great power of God. And now fallen into unbelief. That is what the latter part of this psalm is. Unbelief. Well, dear friends, a concern came upon my spirit, and in respect of many things of late, brought to acknowledge, brought to see, and that is this, dear friends, the many things that are about us, God's judgments in the earth, where we see the Lord Jesus informed us, wars, rumours of wars springing up everywhere, the solemn truth of Islam, and we must remember how it spread its wings, dear friends, because we live in a modern age of aeroplanes, dear friends. It is so easy now to be conveyed from one place to another, and dear friends, it is everywhere. Then we see his judgments upon the earth, dear friends. We have seen it in this land of ours. Solemn judgments, dear friends. Many things that many have not seen before. And of this several weeks now, the floods and so forth, the devastation. And then, dear friends, this truth, the solemn truth, how this nation has turned their back upon the Lord, turned their back upon his word. They've corrupted the scriptures. They've given license to the corrupt hearts of men and women, how that they are freely able, as it were, to win favour of God, making it lawful, dear friends, for acts, dear friends, that are an abomination unto the Lord. And these things are in the land. And I was speaking, having a conversation with one of the Lord's dear servants in the week, speaking of many of these issues, but concluding that there is a closing up of things, dear friends. Things are becoming very narrowed, and to an end and a purpose. This truth, thinking of the Lord's covenanted people, the election of his grace, that time, dear friends, is coming when there shall be the calling in of each and every one whom God gave to Jesus in covenant to save and to redeem. And there appears today to be that closing up. Jesus has bidden us to watch, to pray, to be sober, to watch for these things. And they're nigh upon us, there is no doubt about that. And then, so we have these things before us. The solemn truth of those things that we see in the land. We have another solemn truth respecting this. The Lord is coming again. Do you know when he's coming again? Do I know when he's coming again? No. But he has bidden his people to be sober and to be ready against that day. Because, dear friends, it will not take us by surprise. The Lord has informed his dear people that he shall come in a day and an hour, yes, which we know not, as a thief would come in the night. But are we ready and waiting for that time? And then there is another thought, dear friends, in respect of this. What about our own selves? The Lord has brought us to another day in our pilgrimage journey. He has given to us another day in our life. But, dear friends, our days are not with ourselves. They're with the Lord. Now then, in all these things, where do we stand? As before a holy and a righteous God, where do we stand? The concern and the exercise that I have is this, that we might know God to be our God. How very solemn it will be, dear friends, if we cannot use the words that are found in this verse 7, for he is our God. Can we bear testimony to this truth? For he is our God. We want to know something about it, dear friends, in respect of all these things that we've spoken of. That God is our God. And dear friends, we want to be able to know a testimony, a witness in our souls that it is God. It is our God through Jesus, his dearly beloved Son. It is only that we shall know God through his dearly beloved Son, whom Jesus will reveal him to us. And we do pray that it may include everyone here, that we shall not fall into a deep sleep, dear friends, in respect of our soul's condition and our need of a Saviour. How solemn it is, and I've mentioned it before, to be born into this world. To be born into this world is to be born, dear friends, with a heart that will lead us straight to destruction if left to itself. And that is why Jesus used the word, a broad way to destruction, a narrow way to life. It needs a great change, dear friends. A change. And man is not able to perform that change in and of himself. It isn't in his power to do so. I was driving to the chapel at Nottingham last Lord's Day morning, and there was two ladies jogging on the pavement on the main road that I was driving on. And I said, Lord, those two women are jogging to hell. And it was true, wasn't it? How did I know? It was the Lord's day. And this is the truth here. O come, let us worship and bow down. What were they doing? Jogging. Pleasing the flesh. Appetizing the flesh. Ignorant and in darkness in respect of their never dying and immortal soul. The most one thing needful to know today. That we are right with God. Pray that the Lord may lead me into one or two truths which are so important to us. And I'm able to speak one or two of these truths with a little experience and a little authority. Because, dear friends, I lived carelessly. I came to the Lord's house. I worshipped in the pews of his house. But I was careless, indifferent in respect of my never dying immortal soul. I was in darkness and ignorance as my need as a sinner. And so now, dear friends, I have a concern for every one of you and a prayer to the Lord for every one of you. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, to bow down and to kneel before Him are those attitudes of worship, of prayer, of love, of devotion, to serve, to be found at His feet, to be ready to hear what He will speak to us. But then also, in praise and thanksgiving, each of the psalms that we've read together, they're psalms of praise. Sing unto the Lord, make a joyful noise. But dear friends, with that love and fear and faith in our hearts towards our God, in reverence to Him, honouring Him and glorifying Him, that He is our God. And then the rock of our salvation. Oh, do we know something here, dear friends? Isn't this the gospel of the grace of God? The rock of our salvation. You know, a rock, as it is seen and beheld in the dear Lord Jesus, is one that we can look to, one that we can lean upon, one that we can trust in, one that we can hope in, one that we can put all our confidence in, one that we can rest in and upon our all and everything. But that rock of salvation, because of His finished work at Calvary, oh, isn't this something for the poor soul to rejoice in, to praise and to bless our God for? Even His dearly beloved Son. But unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Us, dear friends, we want to know something of that. Because He became the rock of our salvation. And this is the mercy. This holds, dear friends, the whole foundation of our worship. What Jesus came to do for sinners at Calvary. And here our salvation went forth from the cross at Calvary. And it is there, dear friends, that we come today to worship at the feet of the dear Lord in praise and blessing and adoration to His name. The wonder of God's grace to sinners, dear friends, in the regeneration of a soul. This is where our praise belongeth. And this is where our God is to be glorified in all our way and path. The wonders of His grace to sinners. It is free. It is sovereign. But dear friends, that it should come to any one of us is our mercy. Yes. I know this for a truth. I was in neglect of my soul. Sometimes I may have trembled. Sometimes a fear. But dear friends, it went from me. It meant nothing. It was but for a moment. But now I can come, O come. Let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. This is the difference. The Lord our Maker. There is the change. And as we read together, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. He is our Maker first, our Creator. As we may see it, created our first parents out of the dust of the earth. First, He formed a body out of the dust of the earth. And then there was another part. That body, when God breathed into that body the breath of life, man was then made into a living soul. The first part of us. That is now a corruptible part. The second part, dear friends, is an immortal part. It will live on forever. And so we honour Him and respect Him. We're all His creatures. He gave to us life. We were born into this world. We are as we are today. He said, be fruitful and multiply. We're one of those that are born into this world. His creatures. And, dear friends, to give respect and honour to Him. He provides for us all. Every one of us, every creature on the earth, He provides for us all. In Him we live and move and have our being. Every one of us. All His creatures, due respect unto Him and honour to Him. That He has made us thus and given to us a life, a natural. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. But there is something more important here, isn't there, than just a life natural. There is another part, dear friends, an important part, the most important part, that we bear with us a never dying and an immortal soul. And dear friends, as we are born into this world, we are born in sin, shapen in iniquity through the Adam fall. I know that I do not need to report this in the greater depths of it. We bear with us, dear friends, all unrighteousness, all unholiness, corruption. born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and come forth from the womb speaking lies. And dear friends, God is our maker, and I pray that we may each have an interest in this word, because before we can say the next words, "For he is our God," there must be a divine change. We must be born again. And it is with power. Power. Paul, as he was Saul of Tarsus, saw himself as one that served God, worshipped God. He was held up in a self-righteousness, kept the law, Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the seed of Abraham, believed himself to be one of God's children. Served God, believed that he had the favor of God, that he pleased God, that he gave respect unto his God. But there was something that Saul of Tarsus didn't know. Many today, dear friends, will be going in and out of churches and chapels, believing that to be true of them. I know I've been related to some dear friends. They've been to church, believe that they've served God, done their rightful worship, and they've gone out, dear friends, and the Lord's day has been as any other day. But what did Paul write to the church at Rome when the commandment came, "Sin revived and I died"? He didn't know, dear friends, of the hidden sin and the corruptions that was in his own heart by nature. He didn't know that, dear friends. No, and dear friends, we will not know it until the commandment comes. And it will come, dear friends, by power and authority. Paul writes to the church of the Hebrew Christians, "Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Heavenly calling. And dear friends, when the Lord spake to Nicodemus, he said, "Ye must be born again." What did he mean? If you read the marginal rendering of that, "from above." Dear friends, everything that cometh into a soul of a sinner to save that sinner comes from heaven and heaven only. And as many as received him, Jesus said, they were given power to become sons of God. Power, dear friends, to become sons of God. For as many as received him, there were many that didn't receive him, dear friends. We've read of these in the latter part of this 95th Psalm, unbelief. But as many as received him, dear friends, take a deep interest in this word. Pray over it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Power. It will be by the power, by the Spirit and operation of God, to become one of his sons. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And dear friends, this is that divine change wrought in the soul of a sinner. He will give them power. And when I thought of this, the work of grace, he will first, dear friends, giving them power, it will make them powerless. It will bring them to be powerless. First, that they might be given power. See the children of Israel, the taskmasters of Egypt, how they were burdened, how they were captives. They were brought to nothing, dear friends. Helpless, weak, nothing. It is then that they cried. He gave them power. They cried. Saul of Tarsus, dear friends, see that arrogant man, persecutor, injurious, blasphemer. See that truth. He was given power to become one of the sons of God, wasn't he? But the Lord smote him first, brought him prostrate at his feet, laid him helpless, weak, consumed his own strength and power, all his arrogance, all the evil of his heart. And then he gave him power. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Become powerless. This is grace, dear friends, because the Lord will take away from us everything that is of our own, that he might make a way for himself, and he only. I thought of that word in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 36, for the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. When their power is gone, only the Lord can do it, to bring us away from ourselves, to bring us away from our own hearts, to bring us away from our own nature, to bring us away from this world, to bring us away from all idols, to bring us away, dear friends, from Satan, from sin. He will bring them to nothing I did think of Manasseh. You know, he followed a very godly father, a king, Hezekiah. And I believe that King Hezekiah would have spoken to his son Manasseh. It seems Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. So Manasseh was a son of those years that the Lord gave extra to Hezekiah, because the Lord gave him 15 years, didn't he, extra on his life. And this son Manasseh was born inside of those years. And I believe his father Hezekiah would have instructed him in the Lord and in that way of worship and to how to serve the Lord. But dear friends, very good. I believe that I was brought up in a God-fearing household. But we need the word to be applied with power. Dear friends, do take knowledge of those that are godly amongst us. Hearken to them, hear them, receive their word. Do not be like Manasseh. And Manasseh sinned against the Lord. He made the streets of Jerusalem flow with blood. And then this truth, that the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. That is the latter part of this psalm, dear friends. Would not hearken. Unbelief. But Manasseh was one of the Lord's dear children. And the Lord knows how he will come to his people. He knows how to come in that great power to change them. And he afflicted Manasseh. He was taken captive and put in irons. He was brought to nothing, dear friends. He saw how weak and helpless he was. And they bound him in fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was afflicted, when he was brought low, dear friends, when he was brought to nothing, when the Lord consumed all his own strength, his own so-called intellect and knowledge, brought him to see his own sinfulness, brought him to nothing. And then this truth, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the Lord. Dear friends, sin will humble us. That was what was revealed to Paul. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Sin brought him low, dear friends. Brought him to nothing. I always think of that Psalm 39, and where the Lord with rebukes does chasten a man. And this is the way, dear friends, which I felt when the Lord dealt with me. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. No pride, no self-confidence, the creature laid low, brought to nothing. Weak and helpless, vile and base. Yes. A humbling effect, dear friends. And like a moth. We know what it may be to see a moth, as it were, crushed. It turns into powder, doesn't it? That is where we will be brought, dear friends. Crushed as a moth, brought to nothing. Viewing the evil of our hearts, the very nature that we were born in, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, who changed us, showed to us our need as sinners, humbled us under his mighty hand, as he did here Manasseh, brought him low. Dear friends, seek for that mercy. Seek to know that mercy, that divine change, to be brought into that image of Jesus. Dear friends, it is grace. Grace is able to do it. But the deep need today, dear friends, today, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. When we have been brought to know that he is our Maker, when that he has renewed us by his grace, when that he has changed us, when he has brought us to be those poor and afflicted ones that we have sung together this morning, then, dear friends, we shall be the followers of God, that he will be our God because he has worked in us with his almighty power, through his Spirit and grace, changed us. Ye must be born again. And that was the truth with Manasseh, wasn't it? When the Lord had dealt with him, when the Lord had brought him low, what was Manasseh able to say then? Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Dear friends, what a remarkable word that is. He knew that God was his God. And he knew that he was a God of grace, dear friends, and that that grace came to him. That grace changed him. That grace brought him to God. And that is what we want. And that is the words here. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We've known him to be our God, because through Jesus and his gospel he has changed us. He has brought us to himself, to be the sons of God, reconciled to God, through Jesus. For he is our God. And we think of him being our God, the God of all grace, that this grace could come to us, dear friends, the miracle of it, the wonder of it. And this God, who is a God of mercy, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity. Oh, dear friends, there will be no God like unto him to know that our sins are pardoned. No, that he is our God. And he is our God forever and ever, even unto death. And that is important, isn't it? Even unto death. Our God forever and ever. And he will guide us unto death. Dear friends, to be inside of the mercy of our God all our days is one of the greatest blessings that can come to the soul of any poor sinner, For this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide, He will be our guide even unto death. He will bring us, dear friends, to our course. We belong to Him. He owns us. Divine ownership. And we can call Him our God through Jesus. Oh, the friend of sinners, dear friends. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Oh, we belong into that little fold of His grace. Gathered in, dear friends, through the gospel, Jesus is the shepherd. Oh, this wonderful mercy. And we are the people of His pasture. This is a part of His pasture, dear friends. It's in the ordinances of His house, the worship of His name. Have we come, dear friends, with a longing, with a desire, a love to serve Him? People of His pasture? This is where He feeds us. This is where He will nourish us, our souls, with spiritual meat and drink, the milk and wine of His kingdom. This is where the poor soul feasts upon His name, upon His merits, upon His person, upon the doctrines of grace. Oh, they're all so valuable, so precious to the soul, because they belong to us. His blood and righteousness, our justification, a way to heaven through His precious blood. And then Christ has become our all in all. Is there any like Him? No. As the apple tree amongst the trees of the wood, so is my beloved amongst the sons. Oh, He brings us, dear friends, to feel a need of Him, a need of His word, a need of His promises. Oh, they trust in Him. They come with faith and love in their hearts towards Him. Oh, we must not forget the affections and the desires which God has put into our souls with power. The people of His pasture. And this pasture, dear friends, is the pasture of His love, the pasture of His grace, the pasture of His providence. He takes absolute care of us. Yes. What a beautiful little picture, dear friends. This little company of God's people. We want to know something about it, dear friends, every one of us. The people of His pasture. And you know this pasture, if I just turn to Ezekiel and chapter 34, where we read of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord will do for His people. He said, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. It's Mount Zion, dear friends. And you know, it's above this earth. It's above this earth, dear friends. The Lord's people are raised up into this pasture. We may call this pasture the kingdom of Christ. My kingdom is not of this world. They're raised up, dear friends, on high. This people, there's no people like unto this people, unto God the Father. No, He delights in them. He looks down upon them. He loves them. Oh, dear friends, They've been raised up. And they're found, dear friends, in these high places. They're above governments. They're above all men and all queens and princes and kings of the earth. Oh, they're raised up, dear friends. There's nothing here for them. We are the people of his pasture. And what a mercy, dear friends, to feast upon him, to feast upon his name, to feast upon God's love and mercy in Jesus, to partake of his glorious promises. And his glorious promises may be understood in our next part. And the sheep of his hand. You know, Jesus, being the shepherd of the sheep, he knows how and where he will seek them out and find them. Jesus knows. They were the sheep of his hand before time began. But in the purposes of divine grace, in time, Jesus in his gospel will seek out and find his sheep. Because none shall be lost and none shall perish. No, I give unto them eternal life and they shall not perish. No. And then this truth. That none, dear friends, shall fall out of his hands. No. They're the sheep of his hands. And this is the mercy. We were in his hands, dear friends, when we were born into this world. We belonged to him. We didn't know it, dear friends. No, we didn't know this. But we were the sheep of his hands, dear friends. He watched over us. Yes, dear friends, he cared for us and we didn't know it was in a secret way. But he cared for us, he watched over us, protected us, defended us, the sheep of his hand, in the days of our unregeneracy. Oh, dear friends, the heart of his love was always upon the prodigal. Always. And he was one of the sheep of his hand. And he wasn't going to perish. None shall pluck them out of his hand. How did that come about, dear friends? He went to Calvary. None can pluck his sheep out of his hands, dear friends. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That is the mercy. When John Baptist was born, they all marveled at the wonderful things that were said of him. But the hand of the Lord was upon him. Even a babe in arms, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Was with him. And dear friends, it never left him. No. The hand of the Lord, dear friends, was upon him, and it is upon every one of his dear people as they are born into this world, not made conscious of it, but in the fullness of time brought into the blessing and the truth of it, as we were brought to see that Christ was the shepherd that laid down his life for our sins and iniquities. He kept us and preserved us, dear friends, to that time when he would appear for us, deliver us and save us and bring us to himself, that we should be the sheep of his pasture. What a wonderful picture this is, dear friends. This shepherd that so loves his sheep, so connected with them, so intimately acquainted with them, that he showed his great love for them by laying down his life for them. The sheep of his pasture. Dear friends, may we be brought to see. May it be that shall be true of every one of us, to be one of the sheep of his pasture, inside of that fold of his grace, and where the Lord, all his care will be upon us. He will preserve us. He will keep us. We are in his hands, dear friends, continually. The church are never outside of his hands, underneath of the everlasting arms. They cannot fall through them, dear friends. These arms will bear them up, carry them, support them, bring them to heaven, dear friends. They are never out of his arms. I mentioned John Baptist. I may have mentioned it before, dear friends, that John Baptist was in the hands of the Lord. The Lord kept him. The Lord preserved him. The Lord gave him saving grace. Oh, but dear friends, John the Baptist, now in prison, now, as it were, in doubt and fear, and sent two of his disciples to Jesus. Art thou the Christ, or do we look for another? Dear friends, Lord's dear people are like that. Oh, they cannot keep themselves. They're so frail, so weak, so helpless. But we closed our hymn, didn't we, with that words? He knows and is known by his sheep. They're his, and he will hold them fast. What a word that is, dear friends. We can't hold ourselves. He will hold them fast. John the Baptist, dear friends, yes, he was beheaded. His body went to the earth, but dear friends, his poor soul went to him that gave it. That was the triumph. That was the victory given to John. What Christ had done for him at Calvary. Basking now in true happiness, joy and peace. Today, if ye will hear his voice, today the gospel is preached, today repentance is preached, today forgiveness of sins are preached, but today, not tomorrow, today is the day of the long-suffering of our God. Till the end of time, that none, dear friends, should perish, but all that should come to repentance. Friends, do not let thy poor soul fall into unbelief. As those carcasses that fell in the wilderness, and how solemn a time and season that was. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, meaning his coming again, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, the church, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Today, if ye will hear his voice, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. True disciples, friends, pray that it may be your portion and your lot to follow Jesus, to know his saving grace, his pardoning love, through Calvary's tree. Amen.
the collections last Lord's Day were £625, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Stephen Hyde, who hopes also to address the Sunday School and give out the prizes. Let us close with hymn 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in Thee? The fullness of Thy promise prove the seal of Thy eternal love. Hymn 1074.
Thank you.
grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.